Okay.
Shall I do the roll call?
Yes, please,
Stefan?
Jen.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff Newman?
Present.
And you have the proxy vote for Ching Chow, who's absent?
Yep.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Mason Cole?
Here.
Yoav Keren?
Yes.
Stefan van Velder?
Yes.
Thomas Rickert?
Yes.
John Berard?
I am here.
Zay Jamil?
Here.
Brian Winterfeld?
This is Stacey King for Brian Winterfeld.
Thank you very much, Stacey. David Taylor is on mute. He's in his car. Oswaldo Nuova has not yet joined us. Avery Doria for Bill Drake.
Yes, I'm here.
Robin Gross for Wendy Salsa.
Present.
Mary Wong.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm
here. Rafik Damak. Rafik has sent us a message to say that he will not be on the call. Has anybody his proxy?
He's on Skype asking for a dial out. If he could get a dial out.
He's being dialed out too, and when we dialed out to him, he said that he was not joining the call.
Robin, can you ask him for a number for a dial out, please?
I'll do that. I've just seen the message from him, and we'll dial out again.
Great.
Okay. Constantinus for Joy Lady Kurt.
Present.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I think he might be on mute. Lanray Ajayi.
Present.
Carlos Aguirre.
Present, here.
Alan Greenberg.
Here.
Han-Chuan Lee has sent his apologies. He can't be on the call. For staff, we have Liz Gaster, David Olive, Kurt Pritz, Margie Marlin, Marika Koenigs, Brian Berry Cobb, Brian Peck, Jamie Headland, and have I left off anybody?
Myself, Wolf Hoven.
Wolf Ulrich, yes. You are on. Have you any message from Oswaldo?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much. So over to you, Stefan.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for doing that. Welcome, everybody, to this special meeting of the GNSO Council that we've called to look at one specific item, which is a carryover from our Costa Rica agenda, and where we looked at a motion on the Red Cross and Olympic Committee names. We'll be looking at that again today. Just before we do, let me just ask if there are any statements of interest that need updating at this time. Hearing none, let me ask if there are any requests for amendments to the agenda.
Can I ask a question on statements of interest?
Yes, but you have to speak up. Is that Avery?
Yes, it is. This is Avery, and I'd like to ask a question about statements of interest.
Yep, please do.
Okay, the question I have is, I am wondering, and part of this question is for now and perhaps part is for later, whether it has been asked and recorded, whether any of the participants, either in the council or the drafting team, had, or the parties they work for, had any involvement in possible future applications for names that were similar or related to the names under discussion at this meeting. Thank you.
No, that has not been asked. We won't be asking that of the drafting team because that's the drafting team's prerogative, but we can ask that of councillors. I have no problem with it myself. Would there be any opposition to us doing this? Hearing none. Glenn, can you just go through and ask everyone the question of whether they are in any way involved with possible applications on names that, through the new GTLD program, of course, on names that are that might be impacted by the item two on today's agenda.
Excuse me, this is John. I got dropped off halfway through Avery's question. I don't know what she asked.
Did you hear my repeat of it?
I did not. Just got back on. I'm sorry.
Okay. She asked if we could have a declaration of interest from councillors on whether they would be impacted by possible applications on names that would be themselves impacted by the item two on today's agenda.
Okay, thank you.
So I asked if there was any opposition to doing a quick roll call of councillors, asking them that question, and no one spoke up, so we're about to do that.
Jeff Newman.
I have no interest nor any knowledge of any application that's in any way similar to any of the strings that are being applied for.
Thank you. And for Ching Chao, do you perhaps know?
I don't know on behalf of Ching.
Okay. Can't. Jonathan Robinson? Jonathan, are you back on? Mason Cole?
No interest.
Yoav Karen?
No, nothing.
Stefan Van Gelder?
No, I'm not planning to apply for a string that would be impacted by item two, and I have no knowledge of anyone that is.
Thomas Rickett?
No.
Zahid Jamil?
Ditto as to Jeff's very eloquent statement, no.
John Brown?
No.
Stacey King for Brian Winterfeld, do you perhaps know?
I do not. I don't know about
that. Glenn, let's not. Let's just ask.
Okay, let's look. The councillors, all right. David Taylor?
Yep, no, nothing at all.
Osvaldo Nova? He has not yet joined us.
Glenn, sorry, can you ask all the people that are on the call? So Stacey has not given the answer for herself.
Okay.
I did.
Stacey?
Yeah, I did. I have no conflict.
Thank you. Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
Definitely no.
Avery Doria?
No, I don't, nor do I know of any.
Robin Grass?
No.
Mary Wong?
No.
Rafik Damak?
No interest.
Konstantinos Komatis?
No.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter?
No.
Lanre Ajayi?
No.
Carlos Segura? Carlos? Alan Greenberg?
No conflict.
Thank you, Stefan. There are
no
conflicts of interest.
And just for the record, Jonathan Robinson is saying on the chat that he has no knowledge of any applications. So thanks. Any further questions on either statement of interests or request to review or amend the agenda, please? Hearing none, let's move on to item two and have a look then at the motion that was deferred from the Costa Rica meeting. Can I first of all ask the proposer, Jeff, to either read the motion or tell us if anything has changed, or both?
Yeah, I'm not going to, if it's okay, I'm not going to read the motion again. It took a lot of time during the Costa Rica meeting. Nothing has changed at this point, although I understand there may be some amendments that are being proposed. So at this point, the motion is what it is. I'm sorry. There are two changes. Apologize for that. And I don't know if they've been posted yet on here, but I propose changing the resolve clause, the first resolve clause, which is actually right on Adobe right now, now says, resolve that JSO Council adopts the following three recommendations of the drafting team. What it used to say was that it resolved to accept the recommendations that were posted on that link from the March 2nd announcement, but there have been some changes from Costa Rica, some changes that were recommended by members of different stakeholder groups and constituencies. Everyone still there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then the second change is at the end, because the last part of the motion used to say that the resolve, what it says now is resolved that the GNSO submits this proposed solution for board consideration at adoption of its next meeting as recommended solution to implement Board Resolution 2011.06.20.01 for implementation in the first round of new GTLD applications. It used to say to adopt at the March 16th meeting of the board in Costa Rica. Obviously, that's come and gone, so I took that out and just revised those two provisions. So with respect to the motion, that's all that's changed. There's some friendly amendments that we can go over. I do want to also say that the drafting team did in fact meet last week on the 21st to discuss the comments that we have received to date. The drafting team spent some time discussing those comments and based on those comments had come up with ideas on how this resolution could be revised. The drafting team was tasked with going back to their constituencies and stakeholder groups to see if their constituencies or stakeholder groups or ACs would accept this, some of the changes. I've not heard back from any of them, so at this point the motion is the way it is.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Before I open it up for discussion, Carlos, I believe you have a request.
Okay, thank you, Stefan. I have a motion of information before to proceed the motion, because I was seeing the agenda, and I'm feeling uncomfortable with some reduction of the agenda, and I consider it's a very important point that has to do with the formality of this act. The point is, at the third paragraph, mentioned this agenda was established according to the GNSO Council operating procedures, blah, 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 blah. This, of course, is needed. And at the item 2, when mentioned the motion, Red Cross and Olympic Committee names, at the second paragraph, said, this motion was deferred from the San Jose Council meeting due to severe time constraints involved in acting on the drafted thing recommendation. This motion is being considered today as an emergency item. My point of information is about the last phrase. This motion is being considered today as an emergency item because I was seeking in the operating procedures and I can't see the expression emergency item. I don't know if in the our operating procedures are defined the expression emergency item. On the other question is, what means emergency item? And when we can consider an issue as emergency item? And the last question is, it is really an emergency action? Please, if some of you can respond my question, my point of information is welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Who are you asking the question to? Or the questions? Is it to me?
You, or Jeff, or who can respond?
Well, let me, as chair, respond that there was a request in Costa Rica in the Open Council meeting that we had to do a meeting sooner than the next scheduled meeting. There was agreement, or there was no opposition to that request when asked, and the council decided as a group to go ahead and schedule the meeting that you are participating in today. So this is what has come out of it. As far as the drafting of the agenda goes, because this is an exceptional meeting, this is not something that is usually on the monthly agenda that we have. So I put in the text emergency item when I drafted the agenda for today's meeting. You can call it special meeting, you can call it exceptional, you can call it different or whatever. I don't think the actual word has any significance beyond us trying to draft an agenda for this meeting.
Yes, thank you, Stefan, but my concern is not about the special meeting concept. My preoccupation is about the emergency item concept. What is emergency item and where is defined in our operating procedures? Thank you.
I believe I've just explained that. As for where it's defined, because as I've explained to you, it was a term that I've used, it's not defined in the rules and doesn't need to be. The council is at liberty to decide that it wants to meet at a different time than the officially scheduled times if it is approved by the council as a whole.
I think it's in my point of view, we need to change our agenda when they say it's considered as an emergency item. Thank you. No more than that.
Thank you, Carlos. Mason, you have a question?
I do. I know the point was made in Costa Rica that there was concern that the motion not be considered or passed or failed on procedural grounds. I know that we have some people absent on the call who have not submitted a proxy, and my question of the chair is whether or not what would be an appropriate voting procedure to handle this motion in light of the fact that we don't have all councillors present.
I don't understand your question. We have quorum, so we can proceed with a vote.
Well, if there are others wishing to vote, who don't have the opportunity to do that because of the short notice of the call, could the vote be held open?
Are you asking if we can allow for absentee voting on this?
If that's how you want to put it, sure.
Do we have any absentees here that don't have proxies or temporary alternates?
The only person I see at the moment, Stefan, it's Glenn, is Osvaldo.
Okay.
I do not see Osvaldo on the call, and I have not received anything from him.
Okay. So can I ask staff, because I don't have time to look it up now and I can't remember it off the top of my head, can someone look up the rules for absentee voting in this regard? So that we can determine whether we need to call out to wait for Osvaldo or not.
Well, Stefan, it's Margie. I have the operating rules open if you'd like me to read what absentee voting can apply to.
Hey again, Margie, across.
Yes, under the operating rules, you can have absentee voting to initiate a policy development process, to approve a PDP recommendation, to recommend amendments to the operating procedures, or to fill a council position. And so those are the four areas where absentee voting is permitted, and it doesn't look like this vote would fall in that category.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, Mason, do you have your answer?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions before we go into discussing the motion itself?
Stefan, it's Jonathan. Given the importance of this, and we're all acutely aware of it, and that Oswaldo's position may indeed swing this one way or another, which is clearly a concern, is there any way in which we can tolerate or vote to accommodate his... He may have a technical problem why he's not been on the call. It's very difficult to know what the issue
is. Oswaldo's just joined, Jonathan.
Oh, great. That resolves that then. Thank you.
Oswaldo, can you hear us? He's joined the meeting room. I'm not sure he's joined the call
he's
yet.
He's not on the call yet, Stefan. He's in the Adobe. He's trying to join Adobe Connect.
Okay. So.
And I've asked him if he needs us to call out to him.
That's great. Thanks. Any further comments? Okay. So let's go into the discussion of the motion itself, please. And after Jeff's introduction, let me open up a queue, and I guess the first question is asking if there are friendly amendments. Jeff alluded to the fact that there might be. If there are, if they've been sent in already and I've missed them, please identify them now so that we can update the text as required. Alan.
Yeah, I don't have the rights to make a motion, but I did send a suggestion to the list, which essentially changes Recommendation 3 to the simple statement that this is a recommendation which applies to first round only. There seems to be general consensus at this point that we are going to have to review this, whether it's to make it more generic, to apply for other IGOs, to fix the problem of the board doing a top-down change, or to simply look at the overall concept, that it is going to be reviewed before the second round. We might as well just say it in this recommendation, and I think that will make the overall motion a lot more palatable to some people.
Can someone suggest that as a friendly amendment if that's required? And if Alan was kind enough to send some text around, that could be taken from the list.
I can put it in the chat also if anyone wants.
Let's give people time to have a look at that and work down the queue. Jeff, you're next.
Yeah, I was hoping someone from the drafting team would actually recommend this. I thought it was actually a good change, but there was text, and I think Marika has it. Marika, can you propose the other text that we had in the drafting team? Do you have that?
Would you like me to put that in the chat?
Put it somewhere, yeah, so that people can read it. This is the text that the drafting team had discussed, which I think kind of addresses Alan's points about the review. And I think since it was suggested by the drafting team as a whole, I think it actually makes some sense to substitute all of Recommendation 3 for what we have there.
Could this not be suggested as a friendly amendment? You can make one yourself, Jeff.
You can friendly amend yourself. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to suggest it and get some thoughts. Obviously, if it's going to turn people away from the motion, I don't want to suggest it. So I want to put it out there, which basically says protections must be reviewed after the first round, and that review should include consideration of changing the language general requirements rather than naming specific organizations. In its proposal, the GAC has recommended that the protections for the IFC and RCRC should not just apply during the first round of new TLDs, but should be a protection afforded for all subsequent rounds. The drafting team recognizes that permanently granting protection to the IOC and RCRC may have policy implications that require more work and consultation so that protections may be reviewed. I'd like to actually propose that instead for Recommendation 3, and then just go into a little bit as to why. I mean, the drafting team did review the comments, especially the comments from Avery and from others. Also listened to the discussions from the conversations from Wolfgang and from some of the GAC members. So we think changing it from the we're looking at changing it from the specific to the general in the future, maybe better accepted. So I would propose going down that route. So I'd like to have a discussion on that.
Okay. Did you were you reading from a text or was it?
Yeah, I read from the text that Marika just published
right.
on the chat.
Okay. Okay, I've not seen it yet, but okay, that's great. Thanks. So people can actually see the text in the chat. Avery, Alan, Jeff, can you put your hands down if you've finished, please? Thanks. Avery, please, go ahead. Avery, can you hear me?
I was muted. Forgive me. This is Avery Doria. Okay. The question I have about the comments is, in working groups, the common practice has been that all the comments were reviewed, were discussed, reasons were drafted as to why a particular comment was accepted, not accepted, especially when comments included language change recommendations. I'm wondering, I don't assume that I missed the drafting team having put out such an output. Is such an output on the way that basically reviews how each of the comments was discussed, each of the recommended wording changes was discussed and then disposed of? Or is it the case that there was sort of a general question, did everybody read the comments? Does anybody want to change their mind? Oh, okay, nobody wants to change their mind, let's move on. And so I'm wondering what sort of documentation is coming out of the drafting team on how they work through the comments in the way that a working group normally works through comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Jeff, is that something you can answer?
Sure. There was a call last week. There's a full transcript that should be posted. Each of the comments were discussed. The drafting team felt like most of the comments did not raise any new issues that were not already discussed. There were a lot of comments on precedent and how this would set precedent for every other mark. That was thoroughly discussed by the drafting team during its numerous discussions throughout this whole period starting in November. So the transcript is out there. It was discussed, and if this group would like, we can formalize that in some writing if that helps, but it's all out there, it was discussed, and it's all on the record.
Great, thanks. Alan.
Thank you. Just a comment regarding the version that Marika posted and Jeff read out. The net result is identical to what, is identical to what I suggested. I do prefer mine because it makes it explicitly clear that we are not doing anything for post-first round, but the net effect is the same, and I'm not going to push the point if no one wants to move it. Thank you.
Okay, so let's just get an idea of this being proposed as a friendly amendment. Jeff, is that considered friendly?
Sorry, which one, mine or Alan's?
The one that's in the Adobe, which is yours.
Yeah, mine is considered friendly by me, yes.
And Zahid?
Hi, I was on mute. Yeah, that's friendly, that's fine.
Okay. So let's include that in the motion, please. Any further discussion on the motion before we go to a vote?
Mary has her hand up.
Yeah. Mary.
Thanks, Nassan. Thanks, Jeff. And I'm not sure it's going to make any difference, but because I sent it around quite late, I just wanted counselors on the call to know that the NCSG Policy Committee sent in a statement, a public comment, and I've just sent it to the counselors on the list.
Thanks for that, Mary. Any further comments? In which case, Glenn, can I ask you please to do a roll call vote on this?
Certainly, Stefan. I just would like to tell you that David Taylor has disconnected.
Okay.
He did say he was in the car, so I have asked the operator if she can perhaps call back to him.
Thank you.
I will start the vote now. Konstantinos Kamatis for Joy Lydicote.
I'm abstaining.
Will you give your reason for abstention after the vote, please?
Sure.
Say it to
me.
Vote in favor.
I didn't hear Zaid.
Yes.
Thank you. Mary Wong.
I abstain.
And Nakui, you will give your reason for abstention afterwards.
Yes, Glenn, thank you.
Brian Winterfeld. Stacey King, sorry, for Brian Winterfeld.
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter. Wolfgang, are you on mute? I'll come back to you. John Berard.
Yes.
Thomas Rickett?
Yes.
Oswaldo Nuova?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
I will be abstaining and do have an abstention statement to read at the end.
Thank you. Ching Chow? Jeff, will you please vote for Ching?
Ching votes yes.
Vote for Rick Knobin.
Yes, in favor.
Lanrey Ejayi.
Yes.
Mason Cole.
Yes.
Jeff Newman.
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson.
In favor.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. I abstain and give my reasoning later.
Thank you. Joyce Kieran?
Yes.
David Taylor? David is still disconnected. Stefan van Velde?
Yes.
Rafik Damak?
Abstain.
Wendy Seltzer, Robin Gross for Wendy Seltzer, please.
Yes, I'll be abstaining and would be happy to provide my rationale at the end.
Thank you. So we are just missing David Taylor. The operator is trying to call out to him. Would you like to? And she's getting a voicemail from David.
Is that on his mobile?
Yes.
Right. He's in the car, right.
He's in the car, yes.
Well, can you ask the operator to keep on trying and tally up the votes that we have so far?
I'll do that.
If it makes a difference, then we may have to go back to him.
I'll do that, Stefan. So far we have 7 yes votes from the contracted party house. And from the non-contracted party house, we have 6 yes votes and 5 abstentions. And we are missing David's vote. So it's 100% for the contracted party house in favor, and the non-contracted party house, I can't give you the...
Did you say 6? From
6
the
votes
NCP.
In favor for the non-contracted 6. Party house.
Yeah. And 5
abstentions. 5
abstentions,
yes.
shouldn't we have 13 votes?
And yes, and we are missing David's vote, David Taylor's.
That only takes us up to 12 votes if it's 6 and 5.
Stefan, Glenn, I wasn't Rafiq's vote counted?
Yes, sorry, went. Yes, sorry, there should be 6 abstentions.
Okay. So we do need David.
Yes.
I hope you
haven't
crashed.
We've got 6 abstentions and 6 votes in favor in the non-contracted party house.
Okay. Well, we do
and
need to
the operator is still getting a voicemail.
Okay. Let's give it another few minutes then. I'm sorry for the delay, but David's vote will be the deciding one. So I think it's only fair that we wait for a few minutes to try and get hold of him, seeing he was on the call in exceptional circumstances.
Yes, Stefan, but it's 1:40 a.m. here in Japan, so please. There are also some,
no problem, Rafiq. You can drop off. You've voted already. If you need to drop off, we fully understand.
David, are you on the line?
What is your vote?
Your vote is yes. Thank you very much. So that gives us 7 votes in favor and 6 abstentions for the non-contracted party house. So that's 53.8% in favor for the non-contracted party house.
And we need 50, right? So the motion passes.
The motion passes, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Just looking at the rest of the agenda after that suspenseful agenda item there, we have any other business? Do we have any other business from anybody?
We need the abstention.
Oh, we do need the abstentions. I'm sorry. The suspense got to me and I had a bit of a brain fade. Glenn, could you please ask the abstainees for their reasons for abstaining, please?
I will indeed. Robin Gross, could you please give us your reason for abstaining?
Thank you. Yes, I'm abstaining from this because this entire process has been a complete circumvention of the multi-stakeholder bottom-up policy development process. It's just been a sham of a proposal cooked up by a couple lobbyists and shoved down the GNSO's throats, and so that's why I'm abstaining.
Thank you, Robin. Rafiq Demak, could you give us your reason for abstaining, please?
I am abstaining to avoid the downfall of the GNSO Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Wolfgang Kleinwächter, could you give us your reason, please?
Policy development. Yeah, I abstain because I think it's the first argument is it's not in my eyes in line with the bottom-up transparent policy development process, and the second reason is it does not think through the invisible consequences such a decision has for other cases.
Thank you, Wolfgang.
Okay, and sorry for I have to leave now because I'm already over time. So thank you. Thank you very much. And
thanks very much, Wolfgang. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Bye.
Konstantinos, could you please give us your reason for abstention?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Glenn. Well, first of all, I am against the substantive parts of these recommendations and having participated in the drafting team. One question that hasn't been answered, which I find problematic, is why the current RPMs are not sufficient for these two bodies, and they're asking for more protection. But despite these issues, these substantive issues, serious procedural flaws can also be identified in the process. The idea that we need to push these recommendations and vote on them before the April 12th deadline, the drafting team appeared willing at least to bypass many procedural issues that constitute the core of ICANN's institutional framework. So I am concerned that the drafting team did not even consider in detail the comments, did not even give due consideration on them. So because I feel that these procedural anomalies will set a very bad precedent and send a treacherous precedent within the ICANN processes, I will abstain from voting. Thanks.
Thank you, Konstantinos. Avery, would you please give us your reason for abstention?
Yes, thank you. After consultation with William Drake, the council member for whom I am a temporary alternate, I make the following abstention statement. The process by which these special protections for the IFRC and IOC have been established have been irregular from the start. Representatives of the American Red Cross, a component of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, both of which are members of the NCSG, did not propose these protections through GNSO processes, even though they held a seat in the GNSO Council for 2 years. The special protections were also never proposed in any of the NCSG discussion forums or committees. While proposed by the Red Cross in comment statements on the draft application guide, the proposed changes were never proposed as GNSO policy issues while there was still time for a proper PDP, and changes to the policy were not recommended by the GNSO before the release of the application guidebook. And finally, once the board, in response to GAC advice, made a decision on the creation of new policy concerning a new form of reserve name, the GNSO did not undertake a proper, albeit accelerated, development process on the questions that the board forwarded to the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council is now faced with a vote, or was faced with a vote, on a motion created by a drafting team, but which has never been through a PDP. Drafting teams do not have bylaws or GNSO procedural authority to propose policy changes. Only a policy development process can result in such recommendations. Not only that, but the chair of this drafting team chose to disregard the disagreement of one quarter of the drafting team's individual members when he indicated that the group had reached consensus. The drafting team did not reach consensus, but rather majority support. Additionally, there is very little evidence that the members of the drafting team considered the comments other than to ask each other whether anything they had read had changed their minds. In the words of Bill Drake, this process has been end-to-end irregularity. This motion is illegitimate and thus should not have been brought to a vote. In such a circumstance, I have no alternative but to abstain. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Mary Wong?
Yes, Glenn. As an elected councillor for the NCSG, I have a number of reasons for my abstention. One reason is that stated by Bill Drake, or Avery as Bill Drake, which is the concern that a group can bypass GNSO processes altogether and go directly to the board or work via the GAC. Other reasons have been expressed by our members very vehemently, both on our listserv discussions and in public comments to the drafting team. And finally, the substantive grounds that were stated in the NCSG Policy Committee statement, which we actually believe would be a better ground for discussion for the second round rather than this round. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. We have all six statements of abstention.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to you all. Jeff, is your hand still up?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that the drafting team chair had said that there was rough consensus within the group and not full consensus. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments? Any other business? Hearing none, I'd like to thank you all for your participation in this special call, and we'll speak to you at our next normally scheduled call, which is in a few weeks' time. Thank you very much, everyone. Speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.